There was a young man who was went into a candy shop to get a gift for this beautiful young lady that he was going on a date with. And he was buying three different size boxes of candy. And he said to the candy shop owner, "I need three different sizes of candy. I'm having this date with this girl. It was Christmas time. She finally agreed to go out on a date with me. So I'm going out on a date with this girl, and I'm going over to have dinner with her parents and her family first, and then we're going to go out on this date." And the guy said, "Well, what's the candy for?" He said, "Well, at the end of the date, if she gives me a hug, I'm going to give her this $5 box of candy. And at the end of the date, if she gives me a little peck on the cheek, I'm going to give her this $10 box of candy. But if she gives me a passionate kiss on the lips, I'm going to give her this $20 box of candy." He says, "Okay," sold him the candy. Day of the date came. The guy goes over to dinner, sits down with the family, said, "Would you like to offer thanks for the food?" The boy said, "I would love to." So he bowed his head and he said the most beautiful, the longest, the most in-depth, theologically sound, passionate prayer. I mean, offered his heart and his soul to the Lord over this meal and for this family, and just thanked God for the family unit and for the opportunity to be there. And the most beautiful prayer. And at the end of this prayer, the girl leaned over and said, "You didn't tell me that you were so spiritual." He leaned back and he said, "You didn't tell me that your dad owned a candy shop." But we like to get gifts and we like to give gifts. And the only thing that story has to do with my sermon is that it's about gifts. And this morning, we've read out of Romans chapter 8 that we have an amazing gift that God has given us. I mean, this whole time of year is about giving gifts, and whether it's the Christmas season is about the birth of Christ or not, it is about gifts. And this year, as I preach through my Christmas season sermon series, it isn't going to be primarily about the birth of Christ as it has been in so many years past. And as for me and my family, we do celebrate Christmas and remembering the birth of Christ, particularly this time of year, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I might not know the date, but I know it happened. I mean, I know without any question that Jesus from Nazareth, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, was the Son of God, lived for me, died for me. He rose from the dead for me. I know that. So this year, I want to talk about the reality of a Christmas gift for everyone. You know, we got trees at our house and there's gifts under them. And it's interesting to watch kids look at Christmas gifts. And there can be a pile of gifts under the tree and they always go and look and they try, if they can read, they look at the gift and they're looking for something on each gift. Does anybody have any idea what they might be looking for on that gift? Their name. Not just a name, but their name. And they'll go through all this. Oh, that's for mommy. Oh, that's for daddy. That's for brother, sister. I mean, they'll go through. Could care less about all them other ones. They want to find the one with their name on it. Because everybody wants a gift under the tree. But praise God, we all have a gift. There is a gift under the tree of God, under God's Christmas tree, under the cross. There's a gift for each one of us. And it isn't just a gift that we all get to share. I mean, I loved those as a kid with all my brothers and sisters. And then you'd get something from your grandma. Now, this is for all of y'all to share. It's like, well, thanks for nothing. You know, one bike, three kids. All right, when's it my turn? You know, but this isn't for everybody. It's for each of us. There's a difference. There's a difference between everyone and each. And this morning, I want to talk about a gift for everyone, a gift that's under the tree, and that is the gift of forgiveness. I don't know if there is a greater need in the body of Christ than for us to understand the reality that nothing, not anything that we've done, not anything that we will do, not anything that we've thought or will think, not anything that we can or can't accomplish, there is nothing, no circumstance, no characteristic that can separate us from God's love. And that's about forgiveness. And Romans 8 is about God living out His forgiveness. You see, one of the theological realities that I like to think about is that this time of year, if we think about the birth of Christ, and the birth of Christ is about the life of Christ, and the life of Christ is about the death of Christ, and the death of Christ is about the resurrection of Christ, and all of that has to do with forgiving us of our sins, correct? Amen. But we were forgiven before He ever got here. We had to be. Because God, if you believe that that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God here on earth, that the Son of God took on physical form. He was born and lived and God dwelt among us. I mean, if we believe that what John 1 says, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all of that, and he goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is holy. Can God is holy get an amen? God is holy. And we are not. We don't like amen in that as much, but we are not holy. And the reality of a holy God and an unholy creation is that God cannot be in the presence of or in the anywhere near or communing with unholy, but He chooses to be with us. He chooses to overlook our unholiness and be with us, live with us, to dwell among us, to take on our broken flesh, to overcome that. We were forgiven long before we ever saw it for ourselves. The thing about Christmas gifts is that even the greatest gifts have to be opened. We do not cause the forgiveness of God to take place. But we do have to put ourselves in contact with it, in possession of it. There are gifts that are going to be under our tree that are going to have the names of 6 different children on them. And they're going to be so excited. And then we're going to go around on Christmas morning and we're going to open it. We're going to pass all those Christmas presents out. And everybody's going to have a pile. And we do this when you wake up on Christmas morning, because at our house we do it all wrong. Everybody knows you're supposed to open everything on Christmas Eve, because that's how I did it when I was a kid. But my wife's family did it all wrong, and I lost that battle some 20-something years ago. So we do it backwards. Everything gets open Christmas morning. So there's a pile of stuff. Everybody's got their name on it. Everybody's got their presents. And then that's it. We just pile them up and look at the gifts, the boxes and wrapping paper, right? Because that's good enough to know that there's a present there, right? Isn't that what you, Caleb, isn't that what you do? You just sit there and look at this. Oh, this present's all wrapped and just hold this. What is that? Oh, that's my present. For months and weeks, just walk around with it. No. You open it. You tear into that thing. You just rip the paper off and just get into the box, and it's flying, and there's packing peanuts and joy and tinsel and everything until you get it, and then you see it and you start using it. You come in contact with that gift. The greatest gift, no matter what it is, has to be opened, has to be brought into contact with the recipient so that it can start to change your life. Just knowing that there's a gift out there does you no good. Open it. Use it. Allow that gift to change your life. This morning we're going to talk about three results of opening the gift of forgiveness. Of allowing ourselves with all of our faults, with all of our flaws, with all of our sins and our transgressions and all of the disappointments that we are and everything else that you know about. And I don't have to tell you about those. With all of that, there is the result of being forgiven. Because God has forgiven you. He has forgiven me. He has brought us in to His presence, to His holiness. He has given us a gift that can change us forever if we let it. Unlike the gifts that we give that are forgotten largely. I mean, if you go to your kids and ask them, Wes asked Julie Mae, what'd you get for Christmas last year? Oh, she's like, oh, no. Mine are the same. What'd you get? Oh, now you give them enough time. They'll go back, you know, get on their phone, look at the pictures. But a lot of those gifts are forgotten. But the gifts that God gives us changes our life forever if we let it. So one of the things, the very first and important reality or results of opening the gift of forgiveness is that you get to know God. And now when you think about getting to know God, you think about it like getting to know a person. And it is like that. It's like getting to know somebody. But this is both a privilege and a journey. Because, you know, you get to do something like we get to go to Disney World. Or we get to know someone like we get close to them and start to learn about them. So it is, you get to do it. You get to know God as a privilege. And you get to know Him as you uncover more and get closer. It's a privilege because it is, in its entirety, every aspect of the reality of God's forgiveness is a privilege. It's unmerited. We do not do anything to earn, to qualify for, to be forgiven. It's nothing. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that it's for the, you know, we are forgiven not because of anything that we have done, so that no one could boast. There is at no time do we ever live up to, qualify, get ourselves right so that we can get this. It is 100% God. The curse of sin is lifted by His choice. What a privilege. What a privilege that we have this gift of forgiveness to be able to be close to God. And it's a journey because the distance is so great. Because the distance between unholiness and holiness is so vast that it is a journey that we have this, we are privileged to be in His presence. So then we get to start this journey to learn about, to know about, to get even deeper into and to become like God. I mean, we get to know God. Understanding that we are forgiven is the first step to having the privilege and the journey of knowing God. And number two, not only do we get to know God, but we get to work with God. I mean, think about, well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's look at John 6 and 29. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me. John chapter 6, you know, John has a unique way of writing things. You know, John, he wasn't all about let's talk about miracles, let's talk about parables, let's do all, you know, there's very few miracles, very few parables. John chapter 6, verse 29, there is Jesus is teaching his disciples something. And he says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? He said, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and because you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So this is after the feeding of 5,000 and after, Jesus walks on water and all that. And so they come looking for him and they're asking him, how did you get here? And he says, look, you're not looking for me for any other reason, but, you know, you had this all you could eat fish and chips buffet and now you want breakfast. And so he talks about doing the work of God. About doing the will of God. And so they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Isn't that the question we always ask? What is it that I can do to put myself in favor with God? What can I do to fulfill the requirements that God has put on me? Let me know how I can qualify. And Jesus never answers that question. Never does. Jesus answered, the work of God is this. Now, the way that that's written, it's easy to think that it is the work that God wants you to do, or the requirements of God are this. But the way that this is written is this is possessive genitive grammar. What it means is the work that God is doing is this. If you want to be close to God, He's giving you an opportunity to do the same thing that He is doing. And what does He go on to say? He says the work that God is doing is to believe in the one He has sent. What Jesus is telling them is that we each have an opportunity to do the same thing God is doing, to work alongside God. Think about that for a second. We just think about working with God. You know, as I look out, see people of different vocations. I mean, we have teachers, we have engineers, police officers, pilots. Think about a hero in your vocation, in your profession. I mean, Al, what would it be like to fly with Chuck Yeager? I mean, in the cockpit, not just, you know, we're on the same air, in the cockpit with him. I mean, first of all, it'd be scary because he was a test pilot and he does things that, you know, but not for you. For me, it'd be scary. Seasoned, grizzled old pilot like this guy. He's not that grizzled. But I mean, what would that be like? Not just once, every day. You get to get up in the morning and go to work with, learn from, watch, do those things with arguably one of the greatest that's ever done what you do. Now, he was a jet. I mean, I'm not that. He flew jets, you flew helicopters, but people don't know great helicopter pilots. Sorry. Now that's why he's an elder, right there. Boom, zing. They know one. I mean, think about whatever your profession, I mean, or something that you just always love to do. Get to do it with the greatest ever. And not just once, but daily, on a daily basis. Get up, walk alongside, love, be mentored by. That's what we get to do with God. We get to do the work that God is doing. Jesus said that if you do this work, that if you want to, if you join Him, if you accept this gift, if you open up this present of forgiveness and you get to know God and you join Him in His work, guess what He said? He said, I will be with you every day. says, I'll be with you every step of the way until you retire or until such and such a time. He said, till the end of time. To the end of time. I mean, we get to have God bring us in on His agenda. I mean, think about the behind the scenes. God saying, okay, when we wake up, God saying, this is what I want us to do today. This is what we are doing today. Not what I want you to do, but this is what we are doing today. I'm never, ever more motivated to do my job than when someone who I love and respect says, I'm going to do that job alongside of you. We are going to do this together. God brings us in on His agenda, and that forgiveness is such a motivator, isn't it? When we realize that God has condescended to our level, has put Himself in a position to be in contact with us, to teach us about Him, to teach us who He is, to privilege us with His presence and then get us to work with Him. Oh man, I mean, how early would you get to work if you knew your hero was going to be there? I mean, how late would you stay? I mean, I've been on some mission trips with Connie Howard. I remember when we were fixing houses in New Orleans, and I would be tired of scraping, mucking. You know, Earl's been there. I'd be tired of it. Look over and see those guys still going strong. I would think, well, if they're still doing it, I mean, you know, Earl makes the rules. If he can at any time decide that the work day is over and he's still going, well, man, I'm still going too. Man, what a motivator it is to be in that situation. Forgiveness makes that happen. There's nothing that we can do to change that. And the last thing is that we get to forgive others. As we get to know God, and in 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 17, and that's a pretty long, lengthy reading. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. I mean, what a powerful thing. He says, what John is saying is, I'm giving you this information, I'm writing this, and I'm encouraging you so that you don't sin. And I don't know about you, but I can't live up to that. But I love the next passage, or the next sentence. He says, but if anyone does, see, that's me. We have one who speaks on the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice, not just for us, but the sins of the world. We know that we've come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but do not do what He commands, is a liar. This is how we know we're in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as He did. How did Jesus walk? I mean, that's what we have to get. What is the overall reality of the walk of Jesus? Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. There's the crux of that passage. You want to walk as Jesus walked? Jesus was a forgiver. Jesus was a forgiver. That's what we get to be when we open this present from God, when we realize and take advantage of and have our life changed forever from His forgiveness, is that we get to be a forgiver too. And this is the gift that doesn't just keep on giving, but it's the gift that gives us all other gifts. He goes on to say, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and therefore there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Now this is where he's quoting prophetic passages. He says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. The evil one. I write to you, fathers, again, because you know, because you have known him from whom is the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. You have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For everything in this world, the craving, sinful, lust of the eyes, and all that does not come from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. What he's talking about, all other gifts, our unity, our relationships, everything that is worthy and good and pleasing and lasting in this world comes from God forgiving us and us learning to forgive each other. Learning how to do God's work in that aspect. Because everything that we have that's worth having is found in our relationships, aren't they? And he says, if you want that, if you want all the other gifts that I have in store for you, all of the joy, all of the peace, all of the happiness, all of the contentment, all of the unity and companionship and compassion and mercy and love, if you want all of that, all you have to do is open my forgiveness and let it change you. No longer do we hold on to grudges. No longer do we run and hide from God? No longer. I mean, we are forgiven. This morning, I'm inviting you to open the gift that will change your life. You'll never forget this one. All other gifts will get worn out. They'll get broken. What did we read in Romans chapter 8 at the beginning of this sermon? There's nothing that breaks this gift. The batteries never run out. It doesn't go out of style. And we will never lose it. It doesn't break. Will you open the gift of forgiveness and allow God to change your life? This morning, you can respond to heaven's invitation by confessing Christ, by opening that gift and say, I confess, I trust, I do what God is doing, and I trust Jesus to forgive me, that He has forgiven me, that He wants to forgive me. Confess His name as Lord and Savior, to be baptized. We have a baptistry back here that we can get to. Don't let Satan say, oh, well, I'll do it later because they've got all this stuff. This is portable. We'll get this out of the way. I mean, if we got to give you a boost and dunk you in, whatever you need. Don't let today be another day of excuses. Or if you just need to respond to heaven's invitation and say, you know what, I have put that gift aside too long. I want to take it up again. Whatever your need is, come forward this morning. I'll be up front. We can pray together. Ask for the prayers of this church. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and sing.